And today we're going to be talking about I am the true vine. So we're going to read together from the first part of the Gospel of John, John 15, first part. Okay, let's go for it. Have we got it on the screen? You're with it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Clean is actually another way of talking about pruning, cleaning the branches. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So here we find Jesus sharing some of his last words before he's arrested. He may have been still in the upper room. He may have been already walking across to the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't know. I imagine that quite likely he could have been walking through a vineyard and he grabs a vine, he grabs the grapes, and he starts using what the disciples do know to actually understand what they don't yet know. He starts using what they can see to help them understand what they can't see. It's like an object lesson. And he's preparing them. He's preparing them for what is about to happen. He's preparing them so that when it happens, they do believe and receive what he is doing. But what is he preparing them for? You know, what is he actually preparing them for? Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remain means to reside, to dwell, to stay, to abide. It's a verb. It's a doing word. So the disciples have something to do. They need to remain. They need to remain in what? Where? How? What are they remaining in? They need to remain in Jesus. Not with Jesus, not near Jesus, remain in Jesus. But have a think about this, because Jesus is actually standing there in the flesh, maybe in the garden, maybe in the upper room, talking with his disciples, and he's saying, you need to remain in me. There won't be any fruit unless you remain in me. What does that mean? He's standing there in the flesh. Can you imagine how the disciples are processing this? I imagine probably at that point, they don't fully understand what he's talking about, because he's preparing them for something that is still to come, so that when that happens, they will believe. And God often does that. He lays the preparations in our heart. He speaks and whispers into our life so that when things happen, we're ready and we stay in his will. It's his grace that he does that. But what we find here is when we listen to the whole conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples, what Jesus said before this vine conversation and what he says after the vine conversation, then we get a big picture of what he's actually talking about. So let's read together. This comes just before the vine conversation in John 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. I love that, the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. Here, Jesus is the Spirit of truth, same voice. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. I always love that because that's one of the great barriers for people coming to faith is God's invisible. It's actually really helpful to acknowledge that and to actually just speak it out and say, well, actually, that's the whole thing. It's actually a new way of living and walking with your Lord because God is invisible. Jesus acknowledges it. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And take note of this. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is what Jesus prepared before he gives us the vine metaphor. So the vine metaphor starts to take on meaning of what is coming. After the death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, he will send the Spirit of truth. And when the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus comes in the Spirit, the disciples then need to remain in him. When Jesus is no longer with them in the flesh, the disciples must remain with Jesus in the Spirit. And when the Spirit has come and made his home in them, then the disciples will realize, at their point they will know that Jesus is in the Father, that they are in Jesus, and Jesus is in them. He is preparing them for this spiritual relationship that is coming. And so we read again, after the vine conversation, we're now in John 16. He's continuing to explain the spiritual relationship that is coming. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. When this all happens and the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus will guide them by the Spirit. Jesus will speak to them by the Spirit. Jesus will tell them about the future by the Spirit. The relationship that the disciples currently had with Jesus in the flesh will continue when he returns in the Spirit. And what is their response at that time? What is their responsibility? To stay connected to Jesus, to remain in that spiritual relationship with Jesus 24/7. Is this capturing your heart? Are you understanding that we're talking about a 24/7 faith lifestyle of being and walking with him through our day? So what was Jesus preparing them for in that garden, in that vineyard? He was preparing them to receive, to embrace, and then remain in that spiritual relationship with him forever. And this is also our inheritance. For when we come to Jesus, Jesus comes to us. In the same way, we receive a spiritual relationship with Jesus. And in the same way, we have the same responsibility to remain in him 24/7 throughout our day. However, it's actually, I'm not used to having the microphone there, it's just kind of scratching. Sorry if I messed up the sound. It's actually possible to think that this idea of remaining, you know, staying, residing, is stationary when we kind of reflect on it. You know, it feels like it might be, you know, still. But the reality is that when Jesus uses a parable or a kingdom metaphor or allegory, it is always revealing just a part of the kingdom, a part of our inheritance. It's never revealing the full picture. And the reality is that remaining in Jesus is actually not a stationary experience at all. It's actually quite dynamic. Now, it's not like a vine where we're still. Let's have a look at this. When we look at other scriptures that talk about the spiritual relationship that Jesus has prepared and opened up for us with the Father, when we look at these other scriptures, there's a lot of movement in them. So let's look at this one together. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Okay, here's another one. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And you see this throughout the scriptures, that Jesus is constantly using what they do know, object lessons, things they understand, to prepare them and teach them about what they don't yet know, to get them ready for what is coming. So in here we see we've got the vine, and we've got the wind, and we've got being in clothing. They understand these things. And all of these things are laying a foundation and preparing them for the spiritual relationship that is coming. And it's not stationary. It's incredibly dynamic. So let's use some metaphors here. So if let's say you're at Rainbow's End, and a theme park driver, controller, and you're about to get on the roller coaster, and he says, now remain in your seats. So you remain in your seats while you'll experience the thrill of the corkscrew roller coaster. You kind of got it? So yeah, another one could be like if you're spending some time with a surf instructor, or maybe with Rob, and he's giving you some instruction on how to stand, do your pop-up, and to remain in your surf posture as you catch your first wave. So you remain in that surf posture while you're riding this epic wave out at Piha or Te Ari. You kind of getting the picture? You're remaining in the place, yet you are being moved by that wave. You are remaining in that roller coaster, but you're having this epic experience. And so when we remain in Jesus, when we remain in that spiritual relationship with him, he moves us through our day. It is a dynamic experience because Jesus is constantly moving. Have a think about his life. He was traveling. He'd bump into individuals. Sometimes he's on the mountain with the crowd. Sometimes he's in the room with a small group. Sometimes he's sharing a meal. Sometimes he's praying for an individual. Sometimes he's praying for someone to be cast out of demons. Sometimes he's praying for healing. Sometimes he's walking. Sometimes he's on a boat. Sometimes he's on a donkey. The life of Jesus, he's constantly moving. So when Jesus comes and makes his home in you, and you remain in that spiritual relationship with him, you are remaining connected to him as he moves you through your day. It is an incredibly dynamic experience. It is not static. You are always with him, listening, obeying, always with him, aware of his presence. Remaining actually is quite dynamic. The thing that stays is you and him as Jesus moves you through whatever is happening in your life. And that's incredibly exciting. Like, I love adventure. You kind of picked up a little bit on that. So, like climbing mountains, like caving, I like a little bit of adrenaline. And the greatest thrill of my life has been saying yes, Lord, to everything that he asks of me. The best adventures have come when I have died to what I wanted to do and just said, yes, I will go wherever you send me. The greatest adventure of my life has been remaining in Jesus. He had to teach us to remain because it's very easy to get distracted and want to do all the cool things that are out there. A picture that as a family we've sometimes talked about is like, okay, we had a speedboat and then the Lord said, throw away the motor. And you're like, okay, so we got to the point where the Lord had prepared us and we threw away the motor and then we hoist the sail and it's like, this is awesome. When the wind of the Spirit blows, he's taking us over here and then he's taking us over here. And it's like, this is so good. And then he said, throw away those secret oars you have in the bottom. And you're like, no, that was our backup plan. And so you throw the oars overboard. So there's this progressive journey of him taking you into more and more of a faith lifestyle where you trust him with every aspect of your life, which is on repeat dying to all the things you're holding on to and trying to control, so that he takes you into a place where you are remaining 24/7, so he can move you around. Is this making sense? So the people in your life are not by chance. The places you go, the opportunities, and even the words that he's planting in your heart and the actions, they are coming from him, not from you. But he has to produce that in you through a series of deaths. Deaths is a metaphor for dying to all the things you want to hold on to. I got distracted there. That wasn't in the notes, but it just... Sorry if I've gone and confused anybody on the PowerPoint or anything like that. But it kind of got exciting for me. So let's kind of reflect on the next natural question, and you may have already been thinking about it, and you may already know the answer, but how do we remain? So if we're in that spiritual relationship, how do we remain in Jesus 24/7? Like, how do we remain in Jesus at school? How do you remain in Jesus at the office? How do you remain in Jesus in the construction site? How do you remain in Jesus in the boardroom? How do you remain in Jesus on the rugby field? Like, it's not like I remain in Jesus at my morning quiet time and then I stop remaining on Jesus when I go play rugby. You remain. That's the whole point. You stay with him through every aspect of your day. Like, it doesn't ever... The whole point is you're always clinging to him. How do we remain when we are here today fellowshipping together? This is not... It's all part of it, isn't it? How? Let's read together. This is the second part of John 15 where Jesus starts to expand upon this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Do you hear the emphasis in my voice then? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's a side point. Being brought into a relationship with Jesus, with our God, where he actually refers to us as friends, describes the intimate communion that we've been brought into, doesn't it? You know, as a way of understanding, we've been brought into a friendship. He is Lord God, creator of this world. Yet he has brought us into this place of friendship and communion. It captures so much. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. I'm going to read two more scriptures. Capture this, you're going to get it. It's going to be quite obvious. If you keep my command, you'll remain in me. If you do what I command, you are my friends if you do what I command. And this next one in John 14, again, we're looking at what Jesus is saying around this whole vine conversation because it's painting a picture of us of what is happening here. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So how do we remain in Jesus? Obedience is how we remain in Jesus. Obedience keeps us in the center of his will. Obedience is how we remain in Jesus. Obedience to his daily guidance. Obedience as he reminds us. Obedience to his wisdom. Obedience 24/7. If he goes left, we go left. If he goes right, we go right. If he's silent, actually, we don't speak. You know, we think of the cloud leading the Israelites through the desert. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. So it's a kind of a helpful picture, isn't it, of what remaining looks like. As we move when he moves, and we don't move when he doesn't. We think we should always talk, but actually sometimes silence is needed. We become very, very sensitive to him in us. And how do we remain? We obey. Our words are spirit and truth because in obedience we speak what he asks. We are the hands and feet of Jesus because in obedience we are doing what he needs us to do. Streams of living water are flowing from us. We are shining the light of Christ because of our obedience to him in us and through us. As an individual and as a community, because we're in a vine, aren't we? And there are many branches. But this is something I've reflected upon when you kind of actually look at the word obedience. It kind of sounds like a loss of freedom. It's kind of, you know, it sounds rigid. You must obey. It sounds kind of cold, doesn't it? Obedience. Yeah, how is that the breakthrough moment for remaining in Jesus? But you can't think of obeying Jesus like obeying a human relationship. In fact, you can't even think of obeying Jesus like obeying the most loving human relationship in your life. You can't relate it in that way. You have to think of obeying Jesus as an obeying God, the one who created everything, who you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knitted you together. He knows everything about you because he sees what's going on in your heart. He is all powerful. He knows what's around the next corner. So when we talk about obeying Jesus, we're actually talking about obeying the one who loves you, who has the power to outwork what he says and who knows what is coming. Why would you not? Obedience is your gateway to total freedom. It is not captivity because of who we are obeying. We are obeying him, the one who loves us, the one who desires us to be with him, the one who wants to pour out blessings, the one who can. Obedience is freedom. Obedience removes the burden of trying to worry about tomorrow. Obedience removes the burden of trying to be perfect. Obedience sets you free because of who Jesus is. Amen? It changes everything. So when we understand obedience through the lens of who Jesus is, all you want to do is obey. And so then all that rises up within you is, Lord, what's next? Lead me, guide me. I don't want to plan today, tomorrow, and what's coming. I want your will. I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I want my words to be your words. I want my actions to be your actions. Lead me because I love you. And my way of loving you is I'm just going to follow because honestly, you have just made a way that is wonderful, that is designed for each of us and who we are. Why would we not? Often we don't because we don't understand and we think, oh, I don't want to obey. Actually, I want to do things my way. If you want the best adventure you've ever had, if you actually want to walk the path that has great blessing and joy, obey Jesus. And then you'll remain in Jesus. And then what? I suppose that's the next question. Why? Why? Why would we want to remain in him? Why would we want to stay close to him through our day? Why would we want to obey? Let's read again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. See that word again? So that. Kind of helps you understand why something is happening. So that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Why? Fruit. Fruit, fruit, fruit. That is why. That is the outcome of remaining in Jesus. That is the reason for remaining in Jesus. Fruit glorifies the Father. Fruit shows that we are his disciples. Fruit is actually visible evidence of God's work in this world and in our life. You know, when people talk about, I can't see God, actually fruit is the evidence of God at work in this world. And that fruit grows in each of our lives only when we remain in Jesus. It is our mission and our purpose that fruit grows in our life. In fact, that we are just so laden down with fruit like that our arms are touching the ground because there's so much fruit in our life. I mean, Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, man, you've got a rhythm going on. Absolutely. Fruit is the purpose. Fruit is why we remain in Jesus. It's an eternal fruit. So it's something that lasts forever. It's something that transcends the visible realm, the world we're living in. The fruit that we are producing lasts forever. So the work that Jesus is doing through you. You could not find something more important because it does not rust or perish. It lasts forever. So if you're not excited enough about obedience and the gateway to freedom, then you've got to get excited about the fact that the work he's doing through your life is producing a fruit that lasts forever, whereas all the other work we do will perish. So why would you not want to jump in there and be spending all your time with him producing the fruit of the Spirit, producing the fruit of the kingdom? Amen. But what is this fruit? I mean, we've talked about Galatians there. And in the scripture, it specifically calls out love. Let's read it here. It says, this is my command, love each other. And before the vine chat, it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you remain in a spiritual relationship with Jesus in obedience, because why would you not when you are walking with Jesus? You will love. The risk of this conclusion, however, is that as Christians, we think that we know what love is, and so we try to do it in our own strength. The risk sometimes is that we chase after the fruit and not after the source. Does that make sense? We sometimes think that we can love without Jesus, but actually what is abundantly clear in here is that we cannot produce fruit unless we remain in him. The only way for the fruit of love to grow in our life is to remain in a spiritual relationship with Jesus 24/7 through your day. Then the fruit will grow. He produces the fruit through us. There's a risk for us. We must not chase after the fruits. We chase after the source. We chase after Jesus, and we keep in step with him, and then he will produce the fruit through our life. And let's go a little bit further with that. Because his love is so wide, so deep, and so beyond our small definitions. It's so sacrificial. He knows who we need to meet. He knows who we need to spend time with. He knows what's going on in their heart. So he knows what they need. He knows the words they need. He knows where you need to be when. So the only way to truly love and be the hands and feet of Jesus and to have love your neighbor as an aspect of who you are is to remain in him and not try to do it in your own strength. Amen? I mean, another way of putting it is this. You know, we know in 1 John it says, God is love. It's who he is. You can't love unless you have love in you. Therefore, God must be in you. Therefore, you must remain in Jesus so he will shine through you. There is no other way. And then the joy of remaining in Jesus, obeying Jesus as the fruit of love comes. And when he needs to send you to the person at the well who feels excluded and not loved by God, you will go. You will be there. You will speak. You will love them, and they'll feel welcomed into the kingdom. And when Jesus needs you to go spend time with the person who's stuck in the tombs, who's been kicked out of society, you will go. You will know what to say. You will love, and they will be set free. You're getting the picture? You will be where he needs to be. That lost sheep that no one else knows is even lost, you will go. You will be there. You will love, and they will receive the gift of Jesus Christ in their life, the gift of salvation. They will come into the Father's presence as well because you are loving, because you are remaining in Jesus. So as we come to a close, let's just try and bring it together. Remaining in Jesus is remaining in a 24/7 spiritual relationship with him. We do that through obedience. Obedience is a joy because of who he is, and it brings total freedom. We can't see him with our natural eyes, but we can with the eyes of our heart. We often don't hear with our natural ears, but we are sheep that know his voice. We don't receive the physical hug from him, but on our inside, his joy, his peace, and his presence more than satisfies, and the connection into the wider community as he loves us through the body more than satisfies. As the Spirit guides, teaches us, we keep in step with him. We go wherever he needs us to be, no matter what the cost, because we're in his will. We no longer have a motor on our boat. We've thrown away the oars, and we are going where he needs us to be throughout our day. So wherever we are, in the workplace, in the school, in our sports, in our hobby, we are in him, aware of him, staying there, allowing him to overflow through our words and through our actions. Which brings us to a question. It's hard not to ask that question. Where are you in your journey of remaining in a spiritual relationship with Jesus 24/7? Where are you at with that? Maybe for you, you feel a little bit like the disciples standing out there in the garden, and Jesus is talking about this, and you're like, I don't get this. because it's not yet your experience, it's still to come. It's in front of you. But I actually don't know what you're talking about, to actually have Jesus in you, to be keeping in step, to be aware of his presence, to know his presence through my day. I don't understand. That's actually okay, because when you come to Jesus, when you call to him, he will come to you. And at that point, when you turn to him, what we have been talking about today, you'll be like, ah, that's right. Now I understand. There's so much more to this. He's with me. It's not a religion. It's not just kind of doing a few rituals. He's with me. Because remaining in Jesus is not a ritual. It's also not a rule book. It's a relationship. And actually, when we're in that relationship with Jesus, we actually find that we look back at our day and we're like, we have been walking in his ways. The truth I've received, I am doing. I've actually become an example of the truths I've received. I've actually experienced the truths I've received. Sometimes we might actually feel drawn into rituals as well. Maybe it's kind of prayer and solitude at Whatapu. Couldn't think of a better place to go to do that, to be honest. Maybe it is reflecting in the word, times of prayer. But these rituals are stepping stones and springboards into a 24/7 relationship. It's not the destination. So maybe you're sitting there and going, I don't actually relate to this. I suppose I encourage you to call out to Jesus. Come to him and he will come to you. But maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you're actually like the disciples and the apostles at the beginning of Acts, and you've recently had an awakening of the fact that Jesus is with you. You can know him. You can keep in step with him. That actually remaining is actually a 24/7 experience. And you're excited about this, and God is preparing you and training you and teaching you more. And I suppose the prayer is, more, Lord, more. Teach us more. Or maybe you're actually further on in the book, in the scriptures, and you feel like you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. This is so familiar. You're like, yeah, I get this. Maybe it's a time of the Lord mobilizing more of us to actually pass this on to others. It's a time of refreshing and a time of sending and saying, hey, look, there's more. You can walk and remain with Jesus 24/7. And it's part of actually passing the baton on. And actually, it's a time of actually speaking more, sharing more of what you already know. So I'm going to invite the worship team up, and this is a chance just now to personally reflect, where are you at? And then this time of worship is a chance to say, Lord, I come to you. May it mobilize your heart. May it be a time of refreshing as you worship and adore him. But use this time of worship as a personal response as you come to Jesus. Where are you? How are you going to respond to him? What's the next step for you in your faith walk with him? Because everyone's step will be different. What's that step? I encourage you to take that step today as you worship, as you come to him. Let's all take a step closer to him. There's more. There's more. Amen. Lord, I pray that you just shoulder tap each of us and gently, gently bring us into the place that you've prepared. I am so thankful, Lord, that you don't just expect all of us to suddenly be in the same location, but you all take each of us the next step closer to you. I thank you, Lord, that we each have different parts in the body, and actually we're not all going to be standing on exactly the same place because we have different roles and jobs in the kingdom. So I thank you that you are our reference point. We can't look to each other to kind of figure out exactly where should I be, because you are our mirror. So I thank you for that freedom, and so I pray that people experience that freedom today as they know that you have a plan for them, that there is a next step for them, and that each of us will be in slightly different locations in your body, and that is good. Draw us close to you today. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you.